I will be continuing with Numbers 27, 12 through 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin." Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. These are the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. God's mission: to restore creation to what it was in the beginning, and to restore humankind to what people were in the beginning, good, made in the image of God, did not begin with the New Testament and the life of Jesus. As long as time has been and will be, it is God's mission. So that means it has to be in the Old Testament as well, doesn't it? Do we see it as God began the story of Israel? Yes, we definitely do. What had originated as instruction to be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1 became established through covenants and the variety of godly work that was done through the people of God. We can find them in the covenant with Abraham, in the works of Judges, Kings, and prophets. So God said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And by Isaiah, it is said, "It is too small a thing to restore the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Samson refused to give way to Delilah and the Philistines, or to their gods. And even in his sin, he stayed loyal to his own God. However, although some individuals seem to have understood that, most of the chosen people of God were stuck at being turned into a nation, a great nation, a nation distinct from other nations, and eventually, at the end of Samuel's life, a nation that was like other nations. Who knew? Their vision was very small compared with God's mission, and their mission as the people of God missed the point of God's mission. Still, with the precious little of their participation, God worked in his mission through whoever was available to him. Perhaps that's why the scriptures reflect that over 60% of the history of Israel in the Old Testament is spent either in war or in exile. Just a little bit less than what it is for the United States, by the way. By becoming stuck, Israel missed many of the blessings that God would have given them. If we go back far enough in the Old Testament, there are people on each side with two mountains and a speaker in between, and one speaks blessings and one speaks woes. and they leaned into the woes. As we look at our scriptures for today a bit more closely, we may see some of the mission of God with Israel through the Israelites. There were two people groups, the people of Moab and the people of Midian, two different areas, but still people of the Semite people in the Mediterranean region. And they were in the path of the children of Israel as they advanced across the desert to the promised land. Moses had lived a long time, well, for a time anyway, among the Midianites. In fact, I think it was about 40 years for that. He was about 120 at the end of his age, thereabouts. And he was married to the daughter of Midian's priest, Jethro, and her name was Zipporah. As we lean into the story of Balak, and I'm pronouncing it differently, please bear with me, Balak and Balaam, Balak's father's name was Zippor. Zippor and Zipporah, male and female, the same name, and from the two different people groups. So there was already an association between them. The prince of the Moabites, Balak, apparently knew of the prophet among the peoples related to the Israelites by way of Ham, or maybe Japheth, or maybe Esau or Ishmael, because we don't follow those people groups, and knew that he was connected somehow to the stories about God to some degree. And many of these people were to some degree, and more, some more and some less. So the Midian and Moabite leaders, they got together and talked all of this out. And the decision was made that Balak would send out people from these two tribes to go to this prophet in order to pay him to put a curse upon the Israelite people. The leaders that went to Balaam said, "I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." Now, Balaam did have a relationship with God. He prayed to God, God of the Israelites. He prayed to him. But he was ready to make that income, to get that fee that was being offered to him. And God knew this about him, that he was compromised in that kind of way. Prince Balaam sent people to Balak. No, Prince Balak sent people to Balaam two times. The first time he received the answer that we got from the scripture today. He prayed to God. God said, "Do not go. These people are blessed." And he did not go. The second time, the fee was increased. And the people came to Balaam and said, "Go and curse the Israelites for us." And he wanted to do it. So he went to God, and God told him, "You can go, but you are not to say anything that is not what I tell you to tell them." And it took, by the way, a speaking donkey and an armed angel to convince him that he had to pay attention to that limitation and could only speak what the Lord told him to speak. So this time, Balaam did go along and meet with Balak, and Balak took him to three different locations where the camp of the Israelites could be seen, and told him to curse the Israelites, and all that Balaam could speak was a blessing the first time, a blessing the second time. He knew by the third time he was only going to speak a blessing. But God also gave him what would typically be called a diatribe, or maybe an oracle against the nations, which typically speak of God's judgment on the enemies of Israel. And Balaam was given an oracle for the Moabites and the Midianites. But in that oracle, he says something to this effect. Well, it's right here. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. And this is a prophecy about the Messiah. God's self-revelation in this narrative speaks to non-Israelites, people who were distant relatives of the chosen people, part of bloodlines that were connected with the chosen people of God, speaking a group of languages that were Semite languages. God protected the Israelites from curses, but more importantly, the reason God protected them was also revealed. The Messiah was going to come from this people group. Balak was convinced of God. The reason I say that is because the judge Jephthah would later ask the king of the Ammonites, "Are you better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever quarrel with Israel or fight with them?" God reveals God's own self being a blessing to the nations, and that was a promise of God to Abraham and his descendants. It was God's own invitation to them in the Old Testament to participate and become part of God's plan for all people, for the restoration of all people, akin to the invitation in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and multiply. People would be attracted to the difference between people who followed the Lord and obeyed God's commands, and perhaps desire to be like that and to be with them. And if they didn't, well, Jesus puts it this way in the New Testament. They should shake the dust off their feet as a testimony against them. And they were assured that God was with them always and that they had God's protection. Now we realize that Moses, for example, was not a perfect man, right? We should. The law of sin and death was in effect, and what the Israelites were given was kind of a modified system of revenge in which the revenge issue was to be resolved peaceably and with justice by restitution and penalty. And they were bound to that, and it blinded them from God's saving work of forgiveness. But God spoke to Moses. Moses had lived a long time and a good life. Like a prophet, he had a personal and very full relationship with God. The journey that the Israelites made before they actually entered the Promised Land had several parts. It began as the Israelites were coming across the Red Sea, when their back was to the Red Sea and the Pharaoh and his men were chasing after them. And Moses was given the authority to cause the waters to part of the Red Sea so that they walked across on dry land. And then the Egyptians fell before the waters. Then they had been mandated a place that they were to go and worship once they left Egypt. Moses was told when he was interacting with God at the burning bush that they would return to this mountain in order to worship. So they headed there. And it took them a while, probably about 3 months or so, because there were so many of them. And they were leaving with everything that they had had in Egypt, which included children and livestock that they would be taking with them. Once they reached the mountain, it was 40 days that Moses was on the mountain with God, and God with his own finger wrote the commandments into the stone tablets that would come down for the people. And Moses brought those stone tablets down and promptly broke them. So Moses had another 40 days on the mountain after carving out new stones to replace the ones that he had broken, to the mountain where he himself would carve into the chisel, into those stone tablets, the commandments that God had given them. And he was given many other visions and instructions and understandings about how the people were to be formed as a nation in community with one another, including the design for the tabernacle. And the tabernacle would have been built while they were still in the vicinity of that mountain. Then following that, there is a phase when they are traveling through the desert of Sin, and they are preparing to arrive at the edge of the promised land. And this is when Balak is afraid of this horde of people that are coming toward him. They are camped near him, and tries to have them cursed, and does not succeed. An image of the power and majesty and authority of God the Father given to this Gentile man. And then, of course, Moses sent out 12 spies, and 10 of those spies came back with a report that the people who lived in that land were too mighty and they would not be able to take the land for the Lord. Only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report and faith that God would take the land for them. But the people were afraid, and therefore they all rebelled against God. And only Moses and Joshua and Caleb would have been left. And then they began the wandering in the desert for 40 years. So as you can see, there are several pieces to this journey. 40 years in the desert, and two times while they were in the desert, among other times when the people grumbled, they were grumbling for water. And God gave Moses instruction the first time to take his staff and to strike the rock, and water came gushing from the rock, so the people had water to drink. And as they moved on, another time came when the people were grumbling for water. And God gave the instruction to Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses instead followed a pattern that seems to have appeared more and more and more over and over and over again. Moses chose a different path in rebellion to God. He rebuked the Israelites, and then he took his staff and he smote the rock. And God provided water. Water is a need. But Moses lost his opportunity to enter the promised land. And at the end of his life, after the 40 years of going through the desert, God called Moses aside, and God told Moses, go up this mountain, you are going to die, but before that you are going to see the promised land. And Moses did go up the mountain. He saw the promised land in front of him. Probably as far as his eye could see was the promised land that God was giving to the Israelites. It was the promise. And then he told Moses that he was going to die. But before he died, Moses had a request to make from God. A rational request, especially for human beings where leadership is concerned. And Moses said, please give someone to these people who will lead them out and lead them in so that they will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Who else talked about sheep without a shepherd? Jesus, as he fed 5,000. Looked upon them and said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And God said, okay, and said, take Joshua and take him to the priest Eleazar and have Eleazar commission him to take your place. Give him some of your authority, and he will lead the people so that when he says, let's go out, it will be time to go out. And when he says, let's come in, it will be time to come in. He will appear before Eleazar so that Eleazar can give him instructions by way of the Urim. The Urim and the Thummim were two devices that were part of the religion of the Israelites that were their way of interacting with God. Not everybody could see God face to face like Moses did or speak to him that way. And Eleazar was to provide the decisions for Joshua about when they should go out and when they should come in. Unfortunately, just as Moses kind of took it upon himself to make provision that he was agreeable with for the sake of getting water from the rock, even against the Lord's commands, the people after Moses kind of did the same thing. If we go deep into the scripture, the only time that Joshua appears before Eleazar is when he is commissioned. He is never mentioned again in the scriptures as having taken instructions from Eleazar. But he took the people out. He brought them in to take the promised land. You know, that story of conquest about the taking of the promised land never was completed. The work of taking the land, of receiving the fullness of the blessing of the land God had promised, was never completed. And divisions continue still to this day. Obedience to the Lord. Obedience to the Lord is essential when it comes to being part of God's mission. God will share with us what God desires for us to do as our own mission, whether it's a personal mission or the mission of a church. God will guide that. And then as we participate in mission, which even people in the Old Testament, even people who were not, well, nowadays it would be we're not Christian, we're not Israelites, participated in God's mission, there was blessing for them. And it may have been rejected, which brought woes, if you will, but it was there. And even now, God's blessings depend upon us hearing from the Lord, being obedient to what God desires for us to do, participating in His mission of restoring the world to its original condition, of restoring humankind to the image of God and to the goodness that was declared about humanity in the beginning. Being God's people. We're not exactly the chosen people of God. As Christians, we aren't exactly that. Being the children of God is always a blessing. And there is a difference that we become when we give ourselves into that life. And God's use of us begins at least with making it possible for people who do not know Him to witness and see God's blessing on us in our lives and the difference between the way believers are, what they believe, what they do about what they believe, and being attracted to it so that they can be welcomed in. And again, just as Jesus told the disciples, if they reject it, shake the dust off your feet. Go a different way. Move on. And by doing what God provides for us to do, by the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even in some instances by examples from the Old Testament, there are actually a lot of them, we participate in some small way even in the mission of God, and God's gift to us will be full of blessing. He is with us always, and we have His royal protection as temples of the Holy Spirit to walk with. Amen.